word will give you wisdom for tomorrow today. His word will give you hope so you can face another day. His word will give you strength to know he's sovereign in his ways. His word will give you joy. His word will grow your faith. Consider his word. Consider his word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is the Consider His Word radio program. Today we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. I'm Pastor Arlen Payne, inviting you to join us as we open the Scripture together and consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
In today's program, we continue our study in Psalm 119, where we find the little phrase, Thy Word. What a great blessing it is as we study the Word of God. This is part 16 of this study. It's been kind of a prolonged study, and if you'd like to go back and hear the earlier lessons or the earlier Bible studies in this series, you can go find it at www.considerhisword.org. All of the programs are there. All of the Bible studies are there. Some 35 times in Psalm 119, we find that little phrase, Thy Word. We're well over halfway there of looking at all of them, but we're taking sometimes one, sometimes two a week, and looking at each of these places in Psalm 119, where the Scripture says, Thy Word. Today, we're looking at Psalm 119, verse 154. There are 172 verses in Psalm 119, so we've got about 20 verses to go. And we'll find several more cases where the Bible speaks of Thy Word. David loved the Word of God, and he often spoke of the Word of God, not just in Psalm 119, but in many of the other Psalms. In fact, there is one other psalm where we find the phrase, Thy Word. We'll be looking at it again, too, as we get there. So Psalm 119, today, verse 154. David said this, Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to Thy Word. Let me read it one more time. Psalm 119, 154, plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. When we look at this in the Hebrew language, and I did look up these words in Hebrew, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I did not particularly study Hebrew. I did study some Greek. But if you go and look at the concordances and the lexicons, you can kind of figure out where these words come from. And here, our words are in a very legal sense. Like we're in a courtroom, and as David, when he says, plead my cause, it's almost like he's talking to a lawyer to go and plead for his case before a judge. Then he says, and deliver me. And the word deliver here is also a word like save me. Get me out of this. And so what we see here is really a picture of salvation. He says, quicken me, which means it could mean make me alive, or it could mean to revive us. And all of this, he said, is according to thy word, according to what you have said in the past in the word of God. Now let's go back and kind of break this down a little bit. Imagine that you are in court and you are the one who is being charged. And so you've got an advocate, you've got your lawyer there, and you've said to the lawyer, plead my cause, go and speak for me. And so he stands for you before the judge, and he begins to make your case. The problem is that his case is very strong. In fact, when we stand before the judge, we find that the sentence has been laid down, and the conviction has been laid down. The conviction is guilty. And our guilt is because of our sin. The Scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So without Christ, without knowing Christ, when we stand before the judge, there is really only one verdict, and that verdict is guilty. All have sinned. And if you're honest with God, and if you're honest with yourself, you would admit your own sin. You can look back over at your life, and I'm not just talking about some major sin that you committed, some major thing that you did. But I'm talking about every day, that little bit of gossip, that wrong thought, that lie you may have told your boss, or maybe have even told your spouse or your children. All of those lies add up. And if you are honest with yourself and honest before God, you know that you would be declared guilty. Guilty as a sinner. Guilty of sin. Now the thing is that then there is only one sentence for that verdict. And that sentence is death. Yeah, capital punishment. The punishment for our sin is death. And I'm not just talking about death on this life, but death in the sense of eternal separation from God. Scripture says the wages of sin is death. There is no time off for good behavior. You can't work your way out of this. There is no parole. There is no serving a little bit of time and then somehow getting off. You see, when the verdict is death, it's final. And there is no other verdict. There is no plea bargain here. There is no way that you can finagle your way out of this like so many try to do today when they have been found guilty. There are no excuses. There is no other way out. You have been found guilty, and your sentence is death. And in the middle of this courtroom, under this verdict and under this sentence, one steps forth and says, wait, I will pay. You see, he says, deliver me. The word deliver here, it literally means to redeem me, to pay the price that is necessary. And that's where Jesus comes in. Jesus steps in and says, wait, I will pay the price. Though he has not sinned, the Bible says, who did no sin, neither guile found in his mouth, will stand before the judge and say, I will take the punishment. And guess what? You go free. Your sin is forgiven. Now listen, you're still guilty. The sentence is still death. No time off for good behavior, no parole, but there is pardon. And that pardon comes because the price was paid. When Jesus died on the cross, you understand, he died for you, and he died in place of your sin. I love that verse of Scripture in 2 Corinthians 5. It's the last verse of the chapter. Speaking about Jesus said, for he has made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, the righteousness of God, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, Jesus took our sin upon himself. Now think about that. Every sin, the one who is perfect, the one who did no sin, took your sin upon himself. Every lie, every murder, every abortion, every theft, every sin, Jesus took upon himself. And when Jesus took that sin upon himself, he suffered the consequences of that sin. He died. He paid the debt. He paid the price of your sin. You were guilty. He was not. Yet he took your guilt upon himself, and he died, setting you free, now giving you his righteousness. Doesn't sound fair, does it? That's why we call it grace. That's why we call it amazing grace. Because he took your sin upon himself, gave you his righteousness. Now, when you stand before God, he no longer sees that sin. In fact, he says, I remember that sin no more. And when he sees you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. What a price that was paid. He said, plead my cause, Jesus did. Deliver me, pay the price that is necessary. Jesus did. And then he said, quicken me according to thy word. The word quicken means to make alive, to bring to life. There's another passage of scripture I want to take a look at over in Ephesians 2. I want to read several verses because this kind of explains it a little bit further for us. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 1. Paul wrote, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among also, we all had our conversation, or we all had our part in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. It sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? But that describes us, walking in our own lusts, separated from God, children of disobedience, walking according to the spirit that now works in us, to the prince of the power of the air. We were following the devil. That's verses 1 to 3. Verse 4 changes everything. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. When Jesus died for your sin, and when he was laid in that grave and then rose from the grave, he was quickened, he was made alive. And now you, who are under the guilt of your sin, under the penalty of the sin, he says here in Ephesians that you're dead in your trespasses and sin, will give you new life. And it's the life that Jesus gives. He quickens us. And that's what Psalm 154 is talking about. Psalm 119, 154. That God would give us that new life. Now the question is, do you have that life? Do you have that new life in Christ? Listen, you can't pay for it. There's not enough money on the earth that you can pay for it. It's only by God's grace. And now he invites you, he asks you to invite him into your life. He calls on you to ask Jesus into your life. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a very holy man, very righteous man. And yet Jesus told him that if he wanted to see the kingdom of God, he had to be born again. Not reborn, he had to be born again. How do you get born again? And remember, Nicodemus said, well, same thing. He said, I'm an old man. How can I go back in my mother's womb and be born again? Jesus says, no, you don't understand. You see, we're born again by receiving Christ. In that same chapter, just further down, the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Are you trusting him? Have you asked Christ into your life and made him a part of your life? You simply ask him and say, Lord Jesus, come in. Now, it's not just a prayer. You've got to mean it, and you've got to be serious with God. You must do that today. Our time is gone. God bless you. Join us again next time when we open the scripture and consider his word.
Consider his word.